Well, this morning I'm going to get directly into the Word of God, and I want to continue. I want to ask you for your prayers. Keep praying. Keep praying. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about prayer, and last week I started a series, and I talked about the importance of prayer. So this morning we are going to stick along those same lines of prayer, because I'm going to know prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Last week I talked about what prayer is, and one of the biggest issues of the Christian church today is prayerlessness. And there are a lot of people, when they approach prayer, they approach it like if it's hopeful wishes that they throw to God. But I mean, you know, when you come to God, you can come with boldness. You can come with thanksgiving in your heart and ask whatever you want. And if you ask it in faith and with the right motive, God will grant you your prayer. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I believe God has a word for someone. And the name of our new sermon series is called Hide and Seek. Someone say hide and seek. Hide and seek. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. And again, I'm excited to be here. I woke up in a very good mood. Come on, somebody. The Bible reads like this. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. Some translation says that he pitched the tent at a distance from the camp. And he called it the tabernacle of meeting. Some of your translation says he called it the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at the entrance of his tent and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man at the tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tent. Let's pray with me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, please remove me. Allow me to speak your word effectively. Allow me to articulate and communicate the message the way that you gave it to me. Open the hearts of your people in spite of where we're at. Help us to understand that you desire for us to be friends. You desire a relationship with us. And I'm asking God that you would help us to press through whatever it is we're going through and to focus in on what you have for us. Again, God, we need your anointing. We ask you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I really feel in my heart to speak to you about developing a relationship with God. And, I was really thinking and pondering on this message, and actually I came up with the title because a few weeks ago, we had little Anise over, Polly's and Crystal's daughter, and we were just having a good time. We were cooking some food, and the kids started to play hide and seek. And for like about an hour, I heard the kids running around. I heard them saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, here I come. And Anise would hide, and I remember that she's a little older than my children, so she would hide. But man, my kids were getting frustrated. Little Eli came up to me and said, "Dad, have you seen her?" And if you ever played hide and seek with children, it's kind of funny because if they can't find somebody, they get frustrated. So my son was walking around scratching his head. "Man, Dad, she's a good hider. Can you help me find her?" And then I said, "Baby, she's over there." And I was trying to give them hints. And they were, "Oh, I see her." And then they'd run after her. But hide and seek is a funny game. I think that all parents at one time or another have played hide and seek with your children. Wave at me, parents, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, when you play hide and seek with your children, it's a little bit different than when they play with their friends. Because the object of the game, when they're playing with their friends, it's about hiding so that they can't find you. But when you play hide and seek with your children, the whole purpose of hide and seek is creating the special moment for when they find you. You know, whenever I play hide and seek with my children, I will normally go and I'll hide in a place where they can kind of see me. I'll normally hide and I'll stick my leg out. Every now and then what I'll do is I'll actually hide in a closet. And when I hear them starting to get frustrated, I'll make some noise. Or I'll say from across the room, I'm over here. And it catches their attention. But what I'm trying to do as a father is anticipate the moment where we finally lock eyes and they look at me and say, Daddy, I found you. For a father, there's nothing like that feeling. My kids, what they'll do, and they'll hug me and they'll kiss me and they'll say, see, I found you, and then they'll run off. But did you know that seeking God is a lot like playing hide and seek? As a matter of fact, I think that the God that we serve, if you really search out the Bible and you read about what it says about him hiding, there are times where he hides from us. But then the Bible says that if we seek him, we will find him. But you have to understand something about God. God doesn't hide from you because he doesn't want you to find him. There are a lot of people that think, well, where is God? I can't find him right now. I feel all alone. Well, sometimes in order to find God, you just got to get rid of all the distractions in your life. And the Bible says, when you seek me with all of your heart, there you will find me. See, our loving Father longs for his children to seek him. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God loves it. In Proverbs 8:17, the Bible says this, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I have a question for you this morning, because I believe the reason you came to church is because you want more of God. But the question I have for you is this, are you just seeking God, or are you seeking him diligently? Because there is a difference. There are some people, they'll seek God for 5 minutes, and if he doesn't answer, out of impatience, they'll walk out, do things their own way. But then there are other people that they learn the beauty of waiting on God, because they know that if they wait on God, whatever God does, it's part of his will, and the plan is going to be that much more effective. The problem that we have, we live in a very impatient world. We want things now. And if God doesn't work when we want to or on our timetable, we start mustering up plans and we start figuring out, and then we justify, wait a minute, no, I got to do this. God would want this. God might want us to have something, but it might not be the timing of God. But the whole purpose and the point that I'm trying to make is this. God desires to reveal himself to us, but he is waiting for us to seek him. When you look at the scripture that we just opened up with, you would find a time in the Bible where God's people were on a journey. If you read the beginning of that chapter in Exodus 33:1, the Lord spoke to Moses, and Moses was now guiding over 1 million people out of bondage, out of the bondage of Egypt. So here they were, and they were traveling in the wilderness because God had promised that he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. So this is what the Lord says to Moses. He said, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. So here they're on a journey. Now the Bible tells us that as they would travel, Moses would take a specific tent, and he would pitch this tent outside of the camp. Now this tent wasn't any ordinary tent. This tent was called the tent of meeting, or the tabernacle of meeting. Now, what the word tabernacle means, it simply means this. It's a dwelling place. In particular, this tent was a place where God would rest his spirit. The tent Moses took out had a purpose. And I want to look at the importance of this tent this morning. Because I think of when we look at what Moses was doing, there are some spiritual truths we can apply to our life that will draw us closer to God, that will help us develop a relationship with God. Because God wants you to find him. God wants you to know of his power. God wants you to discover the beauty of his presence. But some of us, we got to do things differently now. We've been trying our own way, and God says, no, I don't want you to worship me your way. I need you to worship me the way I instructed you in the Bible. Because if you seek me the right way, you're going to find me. We're living in a time where people like to live a watered-down gospel. They look at the message and they say, this is what I want to apply to my life, and I'm going to try half-heartedly, and as a result, I get to do what I want on the side. This is the problem with powerless Christianity. When I look at believers that are constantly struggling, or they're constantly can't get a breakthrough, or they constantly keep falling to the same thing, chances are they haven't given up everything in their lives and submitted everything over to God. Because to truly overcome, you have to empty yourself of everything you've ever known, so that God can do a work in his life, in your life. Now know this. Some of the things that we struggle with, I caution you, will never go away. They won't. God will leave certain things in our life like he did the Apostle Paul, the thorn in his flesh, he called it. But this is why. Because God's grace is sufficient. The Bible says that his power is made perfect in your weakness. If we ever get to a place where we don't need God, we are in trouble. See, Moses was a man that was known for his faithfulness. He was a man that was known for constantly seeking after God. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man that knew how to seek God. And as a result, God used him in a great way. So I want to look at some things about this tent, because I think there are some key insights. Are you with me? The first thing I want to look at is this tent was not only symbolic of God's presence, but number one, the tent of meeting was a place of separation. And we know this because in Exodus 33:7, it says this, Moses took the tent and pitched it outside of the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. The New Living Translation says it like this. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it some distance away from the camp. The word distance means this, to extend space between two things. It's the state of being set apart. Now, Moses pitched the tent outside of the camp for a reason. Because it was a place where Moses would get away from all the distractions. It was a place where he would remove himself from the sin of the people, and he would go to seek the Lord. See, in order to develop a personal relationship with God, you got to catch this morning. We have to develop the habit where we separate ourselves unto God. Now, what does that mean in this day and age? It might just mean that you got to unplug everything. Unplug the TV, put down the cell phone, remove the apps from your phone. Come on, somebody. Fast from Facebook, give up Twitter. Come on, somebody. There are some people, they struggle with drug addiction, and there's other people that they have a media addiction. No joke, real deal. There are some people that they can't wake up without first looking at the phone. Did they answer to my post? How many likes do I have? Real deal. I know of people that are mad at people because they didn't like my post. I mean, Facebook, I'm convinced, is like a place where we like to put a facade and show everyone what we're doing. Nobody ever puts, I mean, there's some people, but not the majority of people don't put things like, I'm struggling, I hate life, I this and I that. Sometimes they do. But the majority is like how great they are and how awesome and man, life is good and You don't like my page? You're not my friend anymore. Today there are so many things competing for our attention. So much that people get sucked into the busyness of life and they no longer have room for God. There's a lot of people here this morning, they didn't come to church because they had something to do that was some way, somehow, justifiably more important than God. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I tell you the truth? I promised you that when we took over the church, we were going to preach to you the uncut word of God. But the word of God isn't always going to make you feel good. The word of God should convict your spirit and your soul. But the truth is, there are people that they don't put importance on church attendance. They really don't. I will serve him my own way. The Bible even told a group of people, I don't want you to serve them the way they serve. I want you to serve me my way. You have to learn to serve God according to his word, not what we feel, not what we think is good for our family. Listen, for some of us, we need to be in church. We need to be around church people. We need to be around positive people, people that are believing us, people that are speaking. There are benefits to belonging to the house of God. Listen, there are times I struggle. There are times when I don't know what to do, but I walk into the church house. Yes, it's the presence of God is here, but also I see my brothers that are still pressing, still fighting, people that believe with me, people that stand with me, people that know my children, people that I know have my back. That's what the church is all about. The church was meant so that we can come and get to know God, but also develop relationships. Man, we live in an isolated time. There are people, truth be told, I would say one in every five people battle with depression and isolation. Again, we're set up that way with social media and everything. We're to ourselves. Why call you when I could just text you? Right? I don't want to call you. You know what kills me? Don't do this to me. Unless it's legit, okay? What bothers me is if I call somebody, and we all know what that's like when we hit ignore, because all of a sudden it goes beep, and you're like, he just ignored my call. And then they say, can't talk, text. The reality is they could talk, they just don't want to talk to you. The world sets us up. I mean, again, look at the cell phones. When you answer the call, it says accept, ignore, or give you an excuse why I can't. But this is the world we're living in. Understand the importance of coming to church. It's not just so that we can put a facade, but it's about connection. It's about getting to know people. One of the beauties of that I love about our church is I look forward to growing old with some of you. Come on, somebody. You know what I love? When my children look at some of you and they call you aunt, they call you uncle, they get to know you, they love to play. Come on, somebody. There's no greater feeling knowing that I have people that are behind me. Where was I going with that? Somebody needed to hear that. Stop isolating yourself. Come on, somebody. Back to my point. The truth is, in order to spend time with God, you may very well need to separate yourself from life's distractions. Listen to this, Leviticus 11:14. For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourself and be holy, for I am holy. Now there are two very important words there. It says sanctify yourself and be holy. What's interesting about those two words, the word sanctify is very similar to the word holy. You know what it means? To be set apart. The Hebrew word sanctify means holy, set apart, consecrate, dedicated, and to be separate. And we have to sometimes separate ourselves from our friends. Sometimes we have to separate ourselves from our jobs. Every now and then we got to separate ourselves from our relationship for the sole purpose of seeking God. There are times in our lives where my wife will do that. Honey, today I'm going to fast. That's the whole purpose behind fasting. It's to separate yourself from the temptations of this world. There are times that we won't. We even cut cable in our house. We don't even have cable no more. Because sometimes it can be a distraction. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying you can't have cable. But my God, if you're paying $200, you need to cut that though, for real. There are some things I just don't get. Pastor, my light turned off, but you got $250 cable. Come on, somebody. Back to my point. Separate yourself unto the Lord. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want to know God? Because your desire to know him will fuel your action. And there are some people, they want to know God, but they don't want to know him enough to where they're willing to separate themselves. Now, for some, it's a physical separation. You have to get away from the distractions. For others, in order for you to go to the next level in your walk, you're going to have to cut some things out of your life. Because if there's anything that will keep you from the presence of God, is sin. And sometimes we have little pet sins that we put under a rug that we don't want nobody to see. And when everyone goes home, or when everyone leaves, we pull the little pet sin out. But we're going to have to separate ourselves from some things. This is the whole purpose behind no longer be conformed to the patterns and customs of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, separate yourself from this world. Live according to my word, and I will transform your mind. See, the tabernacle served as a place where Moses would separate himself from everything for the sole purpose of seeking God. The second thing we see about this tabernacle, the tent was a place where people would inquire of God. It was a place where they would seek God. And we know this because in the same verse it says, anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside of the camp. Now this is what the word inquire means. It means to seek information by questioning, to make investigation. It's to examine, to seek, and to search out. What is interesting about what the Bible says, and catch this morning, the Bible made it clear that anyone inquiring of the Lord could go to the tent. So I just started thinking, because the Bible constantly said how Moses would be the only one that would go to the tent. And in this scripture in particular, the Bible says that when Moses went to the tent, everyone stood at the doorpost of their tent and they were watching. Think about that for a second. If anyone could inquire of God, why did the people of God not go to the tent to seek him out? One commentator wrote this on the topic. This is what he wrote. The people watched Moses and the cloud and the pillar because the cloud and pillar symbolized the presence of God. This is what he says. They were intrigued by the presence of God. They even bowed down to God, yet they remained at the entrance of their tent, not willing to go into the tabernacle. Just as people can be intrigued with the idea of spiritual life, there are people who are intrigued with knowing God. They read books about spiritual life, dialogue and write in their journals about spirituality. However, they still will not budge beyond the entrance of their tent to find him. And sometimes it's like that in the church. We come to church and instead of participating, we're spectating. Man, that looks fun. Let me get close. But I'm not ready to jump in myself. I still got some. Let me stay at the, and you know what them standing at the entrance of their tent symbolized? Comfort. God didn't call you to live a comfortable life. He called you to live a life of commitment. And there's a lot of people, they want God, but they're unwilling to budge from the comfort of their own tent. I ask you again, how bad do you want to know God? Because when you want God, you're willing to do whatever you have to learn about him. You're willing to cut away anything that's a hindrance. You're willing to read your word in the morning. You're willing to read your word at night. You're willing to spend time in prayer. You're willing to get around people who can teach you anything that will benefit your life and draw you closer to God. But the problem is, most people are unwilling to go from the tent, from the entrance of their tent. And I want to encourage you this. All of us can have as much God as we want. You can seek God out. And the Bible says if you seek him, you will find him. In other words, you can seek him and get to know his presence. The only difference between victorious Christians and non-victorious Christians, I am convinced, is that they spend time seeking God. God wants to know you this morning. He desires to reveal himself to you. But you got to be intrigued. You got to go beyond just your imagination. You have to be willing to move into action. Being intrigued is not enough. This is why you have to seek him. Jeremiah 29, 12 and 14, heavy scripture. Catch this morning. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. That's some heavy stuff. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Search for the Lord and for his strength. Continually seek him. See, this is a formula for us drawing close to God. This is instruction for us developing a personal relationship with God. God has always desired to dwell among his people. Even since the beginning of time, he walked in the garden. He talked with Adam. But what happened? Sin came in and separated us from God. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he lives. Thank God that we no longer need a mediator. See, Moses was a mediator between God and the people. Most people couldn't go into his presence because of the sin, but thank God there was an ultimate mediator. He came from heaven to earth over 2,000 years ago. His name was Jesus Christ, and he endured the pain of the cross so that you and I can be forgiven of our sins, so that you and I can enter into his presence, so you and I can seek him and find him because of the forgiveness, the ministry of grace, the ministry of mercy that is living and active in churches today, but you got to seek him out. This is why I get excited. I'm still on an overdose from Easter. Come on, somebody. I've been studying on Easter. I've been talking with my wife, and instead of looking at all the negative, we're counting our blessings. I might not have all that I want. Everything's not picture perfect, but I start thinking, man, I got my health. Come on, somebody. I got a beautiful wife. I got 2 children. I might not have it all, but my Father owns everything, and as a result, I can have faith. I can believe God for the impossible because he is willing and able if I seek him with all of my heart. See, I'm fired up because I've been at like my wit's end. Come on, somebody. Not giving up. I've just been trying to figure out, God, what do you want to do in the city of Tacoma? What do you want to do in Pierce County? Listen, God has marked our time in history and given us a boundary to reach Pierce County for his honor and his glory. And when I mean reach Pierce County, listen, I believe that this church, yes, this little humble church, from here, many of you are going to rise up. You're going to answer the call of God. God's going to use you to maybe start a Bible study. God's going to use you to maybe plant a church in Parkland. We want a church in Olympia. We want another church on the east side of Tacoma. We want a church in Spanaway, but it's going to be who? Through you. Come on, somebody. Listen, I'm asking you, don't look at where you are today. I'm asking you to seek God and see where you could be tomorrow. Because it's in the presence of God where you start looking with eyes of faith. It's in the presence of God where you're able to say, man, I can do this. God, your grace is sufficient for me, and your power is made perfect in my weakness. I don't have to be perfect. I just got to trust you, and I'm willing to give it all. And as a result, you will work through my life. Now some of you are probably like, why is he yelling so much? Come on, somebody. Come on, man, I'm dedicated to this thing. We've given it, we're all in. Some of you know it's official. On Tuesday, I sent my letter of resignation. I told my boss, I'm quitting. He looked at me. He said, are you serious? I said, yes. God has called me. God has called me to reach his people. God has called me to love the unlovable. I have a calling on my life to make an impact, and I will not live life in regret. Some of you, you're at a place where you want to do things for God, but you're living in regret. Listen, today, I want to remind you of the cross, that God can wipe your slate clean and you can step into your tomorrow. Number three. The other thing you got to understand about this tabernacle, the tent or the tabernacle was a place where God's presence would manifest and where he would communicate with his people. Exodus 33:9. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud, which was symbolic of God's presence, it came down and it stayed at the entrance while he spoke with Moses. See, the pillar of cloud was symbolic that God showed up. You have to know something. When you separate your life and you separate time for prayer, God takes notice. And it's in that place where you press in beyond what you feel that God will show up. It's in that place where the presence of God, listen, the presence of God doesn't just belong here in the church. But the presence of God can follow you to your house. But you got to create the atmosphere. My question is, do you have a place where you can pray? Do you have a place where you can unplug? For us, we make it open. I don't have a room. I just pray in my living room. And everyone knows it. No matter who's coming over, my children, everyone knows this is where we pray. This is where we grab a hold of God. And when you walk in, you can sense the presence of God. Not because we're special. We've just learned to seek him out. We've learned how to create an atmosphere where God can be glorified in our house. And as a result, listen, people come over and we're able to minister with people. Bondages are not only broken at the church, but at our house. Why? Because we believe in the power of prayer. What interests me, and this is the main point I want to make. The Bible says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, I kind of get encouraged because when I think of Moses, Moses wasn't perfect. Did you know Moses had an anger problem? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, he got so angry and he got frustrated, he killed the man. And this is the same man that the Bible says God spoke to face as a friend. Was God happy that he killed the man? No. But he was a work in progress. Now, don't go killing nobody because, come on, nowadays, there ain't no desert that you can run from with technology. They will find you. Come on. You learn patience. Don't get frustrated. If you want to choke somebody out, go to prayer and tell God about it. Because every now and then you kind of just feel like you want to choke slam somebody. Come on, just wave at me. Come on, tell me I'm not the only one. I'm not going to hit you, but I'm going to shake you and I'm going to tell you something. See how I hit mute? I don't want them to record that. visit our website. You can listen to all the messages there. See, this is important to understand that you don't got to be perfect for God to be your friend. And I'll tell you why. Because this type of relationship is one that you and I have access to today. This is why Jesus came from heaven to earth and died on the cross. Jesus was the ultimate mediator who would come from heaven to earth. And listen to me, he would create a bridge so that you and I would have communication with God. This is why we believe in Jesus. This is why his birth, his death, and resurrection was so important. Because you know what's interesting too? That confirms that God wants to be your friend. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, at the end, right before he was crucified on the cross, John 15:15, he says this, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends." Jesus called his disciple friends. And by extension, if we are disciples, if we are followers, that includes us. Because if we've dedicated our life following Jesus, then we are friends of God. You were called to be God's friend. This is the difference between us and every religion. We're not called to live by a set of traditions. We are called to be in a relationship with the Father of the Most High. This is why importance of prayer. Listen, this is why we are choosing to speak on prayer, because you can speak to God as one speaks to a friend. There is no magic formula to your prayers. Some people sound a lot better in prayer. That's all right. You should hear some of my prayers. My God. God! Come on, somebody. Real deal. There's times my wife will, she'll know. There's times I'll ask, can you please take the kids? Take the kids to the park, please. Take the kids to the park. Okay, kids, let's go. There's times I go in my living room. God, I need you to show me. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy, but I don't care what they think. I just realized my windows are super thin. God, I'm tired of him. Change me, oh God. But I've learned I could be myself in prayer. I learned I can come to God and give him everything. Ephesians 3:11-12 says this. This was his plan, his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, listen to me, we can come boldly and confident into God's presence. Some translation says, because of what he did in Jesus, you and I have access. Let me tell you something, my friend. You got VIP access, baby. All you got to do is seek the Lord with all your heart, and you will have access to his presence. This is why some of you got to understand, you shouldn't wait for Sunday. You don't have to wait for Sunday for us to pray for you. Uh-uh. Listen, you are called to be the priest of your household. You are called to be the spiritual mother and father of your house. You know what that means? In other words, you can pray for your neighbors. You don't have to wait for the healing line. You can say, man, I am Holy Ghost filled. I believe Jesus died. I believe by his stripes we are healed. Come over here, kid. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Real deal. Tell my kid you have an owie. See what he does. I pray for you, Jesus' name. Right? Come on now. That's a result of something they've seen. And because we're teaching them at a young age, guess what? They're going to grow older and they're just going to believe God can do it. Amen. Coming to a close. Coming to a close. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, God has grace. You don't have to be perfect this morning. You don't. You just have to have a repentant heart. You just have to want to know God, and God can forgive you of all things. You can enter into prayer and worship with boldness, knowing that you have access to an almighty God. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The more we take time to pray, listen to me, we draw closer to God. The Bible confirms that. Deuteronomy 4:7 says this, what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord God is near us whenever we pray to him? When we pray, God draws close. The more we separate ourselves, the more that we forsake the things of the world, the more we're willing to unplug, the more we're wanting to know him. Listen, that has to be your desire this morning. You got to want to know God, and not just know of him, but know God. But I caution you, as you get to know God, you're also going to learn what he won't stand for. Yeah. Amen. There are certain things, no matter how much I love you, I won't allow you to do in my house. There are boundaries in my house. In my house, we don't cuss. In my house, we don't drink. In my house, we don't gossip. In my house, we don't smoke. In my house, we don't speak negative. In my house, we try not to yell. Come on, somebody. Every now and then, again, the neighbors, oh man, them people are crazy. But the point is this. You and I have to know God. We've got to want to know God. Amen. Philippians 3:10 says this, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I was saying that whole analogy is because as you get to know God, you're going to know of his power, but you're also going to partake in his suffering. You're also going to realize what it is to give up some things as he did for the sake of the will of God. He didn't want to go to the cross. He even prayed, God, take this cup from me, but your will be done. Here the Apostle Paul expresses a deep desire to know God in such a way that he wanted to become like him. That's the goal, to become more like Christ. That's all a disciple is. That's all a Christian is, one that becomes like Christ. The more time you spend with somebody, the more you become like them. The more that you find him, the more you're willing to adapt to his lifestyle. But know this, before we can walk in a new life, we must first die to sin. The closer we get to God, the more we realize the sin that is in our lives. And as God's people, we need to make it our pursuit to find God. We need to seek him. Psalms 119, 10 and 11 says this, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Job 5, 8 and 9, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me go astray from your commands. That I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, you can experience the presence of God, but you have to do these three things. You have to separate yourself. You have to learn to seek God. And according to the Bible, when you do those things, his presence will manifest in your life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Hallelujah. This morning.